I want to welcome all of you tonight. Thank you for joining us. You've been so faithful to stand in the gap for America, and we're going to see phenomenal things because of your faithfulness. God is going to bless you so far and beyond what you would have known to ask because of your faithfulness. I also want to say thank you to those who are online week after week leading us in prayer. The whole team spends a fair amount of time preparing for each one of these calls because we really want to know for sure that we're hearing God's voice and that we are pleasing in His sight. So thank you for being with us, for staying with us, and for your presence tonight. What I'm going to do is finish up my sharing with you regarding an experience, a profound experience I had with the Lord some little time ago. It was nothing to be trifled with. It was so powerful. It left me so, I'm still undone by it. I'm still, I'm still trying to recuperate from it? I might, because that might be a little true, but at the same time, you never want to recuperate from the presence of God, right? So He spoke many things to me that He wanted me to share with His church. And so I'm trying to do that. What I'm going to do tonight is quickly go through the few pages that we covered for those who were not with us in that session. And then I'll slow down and we'll go through the rest of what occurred together. So let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for what you give of yourself, for who you are, for what you know. We thank you that because you call us friends, you're willing to tell us about yourself and reveal plans, present plans, future plans, reveal things that transpired in the past that we thought we understood until you spoke. The beautiful thing about being born again, Father, is that we not only learn to love and respect you, to honor you for all that you are, but we learn to love you with such a depth of love as only you can give. And what a privilege to love you. What a privilege to be one through whom you will pour in your love and through whom you will pour your love out, returning it back to you. The whole thing is so beautiful, Lord. Thank you. Tonight, we're going to discuss, we're going to share what you gave to me and asked me to give to your church. And we pray that your heart will be pleased both by what I share and by the way it's received. Help us to grow, Lord, and to appreciate the golden nuggets of your kingdom. And help me give what you've given, that we may understand a little more about you, your times, your purposes, your plans. In your precious name. Amen. Well, his presence has been so strong since this occurred that as you walk through this house, if you don't keep your focus and keep yourself almost protected, you're not going to walk very far because it's so powerful here. It feels like we've moved into out of a living quarter and into a tabernacle where he is free to show his glory. He came and he hasn't left. And having said that, I want to say that tonight he's here in such a very strong way. But I'm still going to try to say all that he once said, because this presence that he's left us does get so strong, I can't talk. I can't do much of anything. So I really prayed to him that he would help me give to you what he wants you to have. And my prayer is that you will open your hearts, open your spirits to receive of his presence while I'm sharing, because he's here wanting to give himself to you. So just be open, all right? When this all began, I prayed a prayer. I was praying a prayer, not really knowing that something spectacular was about to happen. I usually know when a visitation is coming, maybe a day or so before, but at least if it comes late morning, anything beyond that, at the very least, I know by the morning it's going to happen. But this time, he caught me totally off guard. There was no pre-planning, no pre-warning. He knew what he was going to do. I didn't. And so, you know, we were just going through things, being me, and the rest will soon be history. So on January 27th, I believe it was, I was praying this prayer. Thank you, Lord, great and mighty God, God of the nations, he who is the power above all powers, be exalted. While praying the above, I'm going to just read this to you because we may be able to get through the whole thing if I read it. If I just try to explain it, all we'll be doing tonight is hearing about January 27th. We won't have time left to pray. So this is really the best way to expedite this and give the most information to you. So bear with us on this, please. While praying the above, Jesus literally took me up into the heavens to stand beside him in so doing, he gave me to see the expansion of time. He also gave me to see in a very small measure the reality of the greatness of who he is. And really, you know, we're still kind of finite beings, even though our spirit has been awakened. And so there really is so much we could not comprehend if we absolutely had to. For one thing, because it's too great for us, it's too much for us. Our mind, our heart, our soul, our flesh, no part of us could handle knowing all of it. So please keep that in mind. He also gave me to see in a very small measure the reality of greatness of who he is. I saw the stars in a very tiny bit of the solar system. And the stars were worshiping him. The solar system was worshiping him. You say, oh, come on, I can't believe that. Well, you don't have to believe it, but I'm an eyewitness. I saw them, and I saw them worship him. Furthermore, I have more than once seen the stars worship him, heard them sing to him. It's an amazing thing. All creation worships him, just in case you didn't know. The Psalms tells us that. It's really an exciting thing to see it, though. I saw creation singing to him. Further, I was allowed to see amazing things about his creation on earth. So I pick up my prayer once again. As I look at the panorama of the beautiful universe before me, I quietly shared, God, I can see this is your will in action. These things, both in the temporal and in the spiritual life, are that which you are ever bringing forth. Now, my dear precious friends, you lovers of God, seeing his will bringing forth anything is remarkable. The greater the measure, the greater the seeming feat, the more remarkable, the more amazing it is. Then I've got a subtitle, his will. His actions. Hence I began praying about his will. I speak here of his general will and its operations. I saw the power of and outflowing efficacy from his will. All things that come into being flow through this intelligent and creative force in him who is timeless. What he sees is what is at all times. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. There is no space or time with God. He is an omnipotent, which is all powerful, omniscient, which is all knowing, omnipresent, which means present everywhere simultaneously. There is nowhere that he is not. And David, who also apparently saw this, affirms that in Psalm 139. And finally, he is transcendent, meaning that he's above or independent of the material universe. If you look back behind you, There is no beginning with God. He is the beginning and the forever. If you look forward, there is no end with God. He is the end. Revelations 1, 4, and 8. Our multidimensional God took me up into himself to show me this reality. However, I was not able to bear this revelation. It was too great for me. The Lord took me into a place of timelessness, in which time and space are not accounted. This existence is where he lives as well. Here, traveling at the speed of such great measure, we have no means with which to measure it. Suddenly, when it seems like time should have come to an end, it didn't. Behold, he was there. I gasped and would have passed out, but he brought me back to myself and resuscitated me. Notwithstanding, such things bring up even more questions. For instance, does God indeed travel? Or since he is omnipresent, does he hover, as it were? And unbeknownst to us, we travel about in him. He is ever in movement, and in times or places where judgments rest, he remains in a state of violence. Is there ever peace? Peace has a different connotation with him. He told his disciples he would give them peace, not as the world gives, but as is his peace. I could spend pages and pages describing such things as this, as he has taught me over the years. And now I am seeing so many of these things again in one short period of time to share with you. How great is our God. As we arrived at our meeting place in the heavens, Christ stood before me. That is a profound statement. Do you know that? Do you know how profound a statement it is to see, to say that Christ stood before you? To know in your heart and with your understanding that you are looking at the Son of God in all of his magnificence. You're a matter of feet apart from the ever living, always living, never changing, he who was and is and who is to come, Son of God. I found myself compelled to make declarations. This compelling came out from within his will. It is manifesting as it beats within my being as a living force or compulsion stronger than my own will, stronger than any life force I have ever touched. It was rising within me. It kept rising in union with and carrying my own yielded will in its flow. This fourth force grew inside of me until it felt like my very heart was going to explode with a desperate need to praise him in such a way as he alone is worthy. My battle arose with the reality that none could give him the pure, unfeigned praise of which he is worthy. Such adoration and praise could never flow out of human lips, as it is too high and powerful for us to endure. I grew so desperate to release the praise due him that I was in living anguish. And I'm not trying to make this sound greater than it was. There's no way in our human vernacular to make it, to reveal it as great as it was. So you have to bring it way down to try to communicate these things to others who love him. And I apologize for that, but we just have that to live with. Such adoration and praise could never flow out of human lips, as it is too high and powerful for us to endure. I grew so desperate to release the praise due him that I was in living anguish. He is too holy, too glorious, too majestic. He is the very essence of life. But alas, the corruption of the human soul made it impossible to connect human ardor with human ardor alone. Indeed, anything human not clothed by the sanctifying blood of the Lamb was not capable of receiving the caress of the Divine One. And then, subtitle, Union. This wonderful, loving Christ, who has now captured my gaze, is my blessing, for in him alone can the heart of so lofty a God and a passionate child called by his name find their satisfaction realized. Indeed, sin arose, hope died. The rose so beautiful was crucified to restore hope by his finished work of atonement. A soul slain by the corruption of darkness had seemingly destroyed the goodness of the shining light. There I was, smitten by divine love and held captive by the flesh that in no way could compensate for the loss. What could I do? Churning, yearning, grasping for freedom from my flesh that now held me captive and a prisoner trapped away from he whom I love more than life. I thought, who else has known this torment? My heart was thrashing my soul in a battle for what was life itself. It felt as though I faced obliteration, indeed must suffer obliteration, to release the praise he alone deserved. My thoughts now riveted on one truth alone. I had to be free of this deathly prison of my flesh, that my glorious King might be wholly praised in pristine purity, fully worshiped for the noble, glorious, majestic God that he is. Romans 7, 4 through 25. Now this is the moment that I was actually taken into the fullness of union I'm about to read to you. I'm suddenly aware that the Spirit of Christ is working to fill every part of my being. This filling began in my feet, traveling up my legs, into my torso, my lungs, my heart, my members, up into my mind. His Spirit was moving and claiming every part. As I felt his most holy Spirit moving through me, I began to feel the release of this noble song. Driven as I was to experience freedom from within, I found myself captured by this truth, which is now exploding from within. Yes, Christ alone can worship God. He must do it. The reality is Christ, so holy, so majestic, is our hope. Exodus 15:11, Psalms 96:9, 1 Chronicles 16:27. The majesty of his holiness was consuming me inch by inch. In his might and by his will, he worshiped God through me. Our God is truly holy, majestic in holiness. He is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. This fire gradually took ownership of my every part. All the while the darkness was driven out by ongoing explosions of light. I felt like one being stunningly transformed by his life. All of this was the actualization of, oh my, his will. Jesus was imparting a new, higher level of union. It's so sublime a measure, I was speechless at the marvel of his divine wonders, the culmination of the fullness of union at last, which union I began entering into March 15, 2019. Now back to more of the workings of his will. After the above experience, which took some time, Jesus took me on a trip of sorts across America. I was one place at one moment and another, it seemed, the next. It seemed as though I was traveling the length and the breadth of America. However, in actuality, I do not know if I was even moving at all. God took me into the place of timelessness, where he lives, as it were. He took me there to help further my understanding, among other things, the operation of his will. The description below is what he gave me to see. It appeared by what he showed me that there is a process that occurs so quickly that it is faster than human thought, indeed, faster than the speed of light. The thought becomes his will. No thought that he conceives does he reject, whether his permissive, good, or accepted will. It automatically becomes his will. You might even say that the thought while being conceived is already his will, Ephesians 1, 5, and 9. Again, that process is faster than the speed of light. Once it becomes his will, it manifests as reality 2,000 years in the future in the field of space and time. In actuality, God knows all things at all times, but has determined that all will be revealed and made manifest through his Son. So whether he perceives something and it becomes his will in BC, something that is not going to be made manifest until 2,000 years later, it still works the same way as for him to make a thought, determine a will about something, and having it happen that very hour. Feeling so overwhelmed, I again began to laud his praises, declaring, "You will be exalted, O God." I exclaimed, the Son paid the price. And he brought forth the privilege for the expression of your song from shore to shore, east to west. And like I said, I was feeling so overwhelmed. My heart felt like it was going to burst right out of my chest for the power of this force. I saw in him life was life. And the life was the light of men. Something is happening to him, giving forth this awesome expression of truth. He's again changing in his, dare I say, composition. Jesus turned from a being of light to a being of life. The transition continued, showing me again, the life is the light of men. The light I saw was a perpetual song of life flowing through the heavens into all creation. And again, many scriptures, but when we put this on the website, we're going to have all of those scriptures available to you, so I won't keep going through them. I cried, "God, you said, let it be. Your glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Let it be." His actions out in front of me, I saw the earth suspended. I saw that his glory covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Even now his glory surrounds the earth and that we are in him. Yet the scripture is fulfilled as I saw above. His lovely Shekinah glory is blanketing the earth, a habitation of his kingdom. Both statements are ever presently true because God transcends time and space. Now this is where we ended the last time we covered this, and this is where we're officially starting today. I prayed, "You who are the reigning king, the ruling monarch of all the living, our sovereign God, You make a way where there seems to be no way. You say it, and it will be done. You decree it, and it must come to pass, for you are not man that you can tell a lie. As I was on my face before God, I cried, my heart yearns to praise you, to extol you, to laud your praises, Lord. I cried out to him, Lord, this flesh is weary. It cannot give you what you deserve. My soul is hindered from the glorious worship I long to give, Lord. It is corrupt from the beginning. It cannot lay before you that of which you are worthy. I then see hope. My eyes are open to see that there is something within my spirit, the fragrant candle of your spirit, giving light to the whole house. Let the fire of your love, the fire of your life, the fire of your eternal one be seen around the earth, Lord. The power and the glory forever and ever. Oh God, my heart is crying. My heart wants to burst forth with the praise that can only come from the one who is worthy of it all, the Son, the glorious Son. What does one do, Lord? The praise is yearning to burst forth. The words of which you are worthy, surging against the walls of my heart for freedom to worship. And to worship you worthily. But alas, Lord, you and you alone are the power and the glory forever. You and you alone are the one that can give you praise, glory, and honor in such a way as you are due. That is your Son. To the Father, I pray, take note that my prayers are agonizing because my flesh is holding back the fullness of glorious communications. Thus the emphasis is on the opening words in each line. Oh, that the Son would have freedom to worship you through his church. Oh, that he would have freedom to let his song ring throughout the land. May it ring through the oceans. Ring throughout the lands of the earth. Oh, Father, let it be. Let Christ be praised. Oh, my darling God, it is so painful to feel what I am feeling tonight, to want so desperately to praise you in such a way, some small way, in which you are worthy. But the words coming up from my agonizing soul feel corrupt, for you are so holy. I looked upon your beauty, O Lord, and felt within my soul the corruption that creates a blockage withholding these wondrous praises. Oh, my Father, that the words may be the words of the Son of God, born by his Spirit. May he be the one giving such magnificent glory to the Father, that our hearts might sing incandescent songs of love and glory to you. Only then can we bear it, Lord. You alone must be glorified. What you do, who you are, your purposes, your plans. I am now in the fullness of union, the Divine One taking full possession of my being. Missiles of light are now shooting all over my soul and spirit, through the flesh and up into the heavens above. There are many bursts of light with missiles of glory attached. The spirit of union between Christ and his bride in me is sending out these missiles of light, flashing in every direction, out through the flesh and up to the Father. Further, these amazing missiles of light are his holy songs to the Father. The question may be asked, am I now in complete union? Is there room for more? From this point on, the light of our Lord's life will claim a denser ownership like the Shekinah cloud, filling more densely a predetermined space from glory to glory, as is his way, according to John 1:16. O God, the flaming missiles are beginning to be released again. Your purposes and plans must bring you glory. Every time I describe above what was happening again, the explosions of light, the missiles of light, were moving in a rhythmic motion, pulsating with life that continued repeatedly. This action would cause ever-increasing powerful missiles of light to go through me. The best way to help you visualize what it would be like would be fireworks that go off at night in the sky. But the fireworks were of the Spirit of God and my spirit exploding within me. I pray they must come forth and sing the glory of God, of the Son, the glory of the Father, the glory of the Spirit, three in one, one in three. Oh God, let it be. Let it be that your bride brings forth the glorious song to her groom by the Spirit that makes us one. You are worthy, Lion of Judah, worthy, 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 worthy. I cannot bear this, Holy Father. So holy and majestic are you. I would make a proclamation, and the missiles of light would go off through me and ultimately out of me into the heavens to be received again by his throne. These missiles of light were the praises and proclamations. Do his will. But be it in song or words of praise, they were all seen as missiles of light. The shooting missiles continued to grow more robust and the glory more profound. It seemed unbearable to my flesh. Although it was wrapped in his love, wrapped in his light, ultimately wrapped in his majesty, my flesh found it utterly painful. Only Christ in me made it endurable, so wonderful, so amazing that it was. I cried out, there must be a voice higher than mine. There must be a spirit grander than mine, Lord, that can raise up. I can't even talk. That can raise up the glorious praises for which you are worthy. What a holy quandary. You alone are the answer. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Holy, glorious one. You are the author of salvation. You are the beginning and the end. You are the author of the vision of the land. You are the author of the vision of the world and of the incredible heavens, the eternity of the eternities. You are the author of it all, and you carry it in the palm of your hands. Oh God, worthy are you. Worthy. Worthy are you. You alone are worthy. Oh God, let the songs come from the angels above, from the saints above, from three in one. Oh God, let the divine songs come forth as only you can bring them. His responses, one by one, the Lord's glorious offices and various names appeared to me. I would express them with holy awe. Elohim, meaning powerful Lord. Adonai, meaning Lord. El Yelion, meaning God Most High. El Shaddai, meaning God Almighty. Yahweh, meaning covenant God. Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. Jehovah Rophi, our healer. Jehovah Nisi, my banner. Jehovah Mekadesh, sanctifier. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Tzidkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. Jehovah Shaman, Lord, it's there. The song was pure light, pure glory. The song was Christ. Oh my God, was my prayer, luminous one, That divine pain is so painful, but you are glorious, O Lord. Oh, that I could sing with the voices of 10,000s, time 10,000s. And in only a moment I saw my words ascending into the heavens. Millions time millions. And your bride hear it, see it, and release it. That your spirit is free to proclaim the beauty, the grace, and the glory of the Almighty God. Be it here in the Americas, be it in Asia, be it in Africa, be it in Europe, O God, every place. May your name be glorified. May your name be honored. I continued to praise him in my ardent praise. There is a song so high, so beautiful, so powerful, so radiant, so extraordinary, so divine. Pure light, luminous, pure life, pure spirit that can bring forth the praises of the Holy One in such grandeur that it begs description. O God, let it be. Let it be. We praise you. We praise you. That America is yours. We praise you, Lord. That the Americas are yours. Africa is yours. Asia is yours. Europe is yours. Every place where the foot of man can tread, O God, let it bring forth the glorious light of who you are, my Father. My Father, worthy is your name. Glorious is your praise. I see the fire lifted, O God, the eternal flame, O God, the proclamation of the Son of God, the glory of his name, the glory of your ways, O God. The fire spreads and it spreads and it spreads, bringing birth to souls upon souls, bringing your royal heart into such joy. Father, it must be. You must have your harvest. It must be. You must have the nations. They belong to the Son. You gave them to him. God, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, O God. You are worthy. Your word is eternal, Father. No beginning, no end. All power, all glory. And then his actions, the flame upon the torch that I saw earlier was Christ. The torch continually transformed into Christ, then back to the torch several times. Again, these missiles of light constantly exploded in and through me. My prayer, these fireworks of glory are again being released, O God, the light. The missiles of light, the flame that is so beautiful. Oh my God, nothing can speak of you as you can. Let the Son be glorified for what he has done and the price to make your royal, noble, holy heart joyful. May we fall to our faces forever and ever and ever to praise thee, oh God. Again, these missiles of light shot forth through me. Throughout the experience, Christ was in me and in front of me. He stood about 10 feet away and above me, about 10 feet. I began to hone in on what the Son did. He appeared on the cross with his head bent down. He had on the crown of thorns and he was bleeding. But toward the end of this scene, he began to be enfolded in majesty. This transformation occurred before my very eyes. What I saw all began to telescope in Christ, and he was ultimately in the progression of the sacrifice Christ into his supreme majesty until he was totally clothed in majesty. He was being transformed from the sacrifice Christ into his majesty. While I saw Christ on the cross in front of me, I felt Christ's spirit inside of me move through my being. Until his spirit completely clothed me, including my head. Christ was in both places, therefore I was cognizant of only him. Subsequently, my heart felt like it would rupture. I mentioned this earlier. He was filling me like you would fill a balloon, but this process was excruciating. At the completion of this filling, I was no longer cognizant of me at all. I knew he filled all of me, but it seemed as though I was gone. The heart of my soul was transformed into the heart of flesh. Oh God, the fire, I can feel the fire. The same fire I felt that night, Lord. The heart of flesh, in a most literal way, means his heart. His spirit fully owned my heart. His majesty, his will in me. Oh God, let me share the meaning of his supreme title, majesty. It is very enlightening and honestly provokes a sacred awe of our Lord and Master. Majesty inspires holy worship. In his presence, we laud his praises as every cell in our body, every hair on our body stands alert to worship him. A sovereign power, dignity, or grandeur, supreme authority or power, a royal personage, magnificence or splendor, a great dignity of bearing, loftiness, royalty, regal lofty, stately dignity, imposing character, grandeur, magnificence and grandness, riches, something or someone meriting the highest praise or regard, glory or splendor. Majesty is the name that refers to the reality that he is the sovereign ruler over all that is. None is higher in rank, authority, or power. To describe him as majestic is tantamount to saying his supreme royal beauty is the highest and most glorious of all nobility in the heavens and in the earth. When the Bible presents him as majestic in holiness, it is revealing the utter purity of his most holy character. When it says of him that he is glorious in holiness, majestic in beauty, needless to say, the writer was expressing the inexpressible. When he was completely clothed in majesty, I saw his gown of translucent gold shining with his brilliant glory. On his head was a many-peaked translucent gold crown, also shining with glory, and inlaid with many precious stones. On the breast of the robe was darker gold, threading, and needlework in a beautifully ornate design. It, too, had precious stones on it. The gown had long sleeves that were slightly bell-shaped at the cuff. He had on a belted waistband made of another shade of translucent gold that shined with the glory. Oh God, that fire. That fire, Lord. He looked so royal, so noble, so majestic. His eyes were blue, but shined like liquid fire. Standing before him in his majesty is virtually impossible unless he tells you to stand. Hence, suddenly, strength to stand arises in your being. Daniel of old covenant renown experiences. When his holy majesty is displayed, what created being can rise before him? His Shekinah is so overwhelming that one loses their breath, and therefore the breath we breathe and the words we may try to speak seem so unholy the fear of God explodes within and we are left speechless before him. The possibility of experiencing total unconsciousness is often likely. He is God, my dear ones. Creator of all, creator of all things. He's clothed in his glorious majesty, his power, his dunamis, That which upholds all things by his mighty word of power is unleashed in glorious splendor, and we stand silent in holy awe. If us, I say we stand at all, the only thing that tempers the glorious display is the eternal love with which he loves you and all created things. As I felt myself return to my place of rest, I began to pray over the people. Now I'm just going to read about two-thirds of a page that will tell you what he imparted to me and what it felt like. He called it the stillness of God. This is a place Jesus invited me to maybe 3 years ago. However, this was the Kairos experience he gave me to help me understand such a place. If I were to describe it, I would share it thus. It is a place of tranquility and state of being filled with a divine innocence. Indeed, the divine nature, amidst pristine beauty, emanations of holiness and purity, combined with righteousness, love, and perfect peace, which had taken up residence in my innermost being. Christ created his own dwelling place in me and invited me to join him in divine union within its boundaries. The feelings that the above-mentioned condition evoked from me were perhaps what a baby might feel in the womb of a perfectly content mother, a sense of safety, restfulness, being nurtured. My mind, heart, soul, and spirit, even my flesh, was at perfect rest in the state of comfort, contentment, free from guilt or inner anxiety due to sin or the soulish nature. I felt so loved, so accepted in a place of utter blissfulness. One could not even consider such a place on this earth. There was no sense of evil or present endangerment by evil, just carried in the arms of his protection. Life seemed restful. There was great sense of freedom as I was in a state of repose in this place he created in me, called the stillness of God. I desire to put one more emphasis on the holiness, purity, the Shekinah glory, the righteousness, the kindness, and tenderheartedness resulting in perfect serenity with which I was consumed within and without. He wanted you to know this because he loves you. He wants you to understand that he is in the process of making some very beautiful, powerful, transitional things occur. One of which is to begin bringing people into union with Christ. Those who have strengthened themselves through obedience, prayer, the word humility, love, and other such things, the virtues of his spirit, that he may bring that one in to this place of union, eradicating the sinful nature, cleansing the soul, and bringing forth the beauty of Christ into our spirit. This is what he wants for everyone on this line. Everything that he's doing right now, although it may seem like it's for America, or it's for nations of the world. Really, the things that he's doing are for his church. And in doing for his church, he is also beckoning Israel to return to their God. So I want to invite you, I want to offer in his name that you would be teachable to him. Please don't say, oh, I'll do it later, when there's greater glory, greater this or greater that, when I have more time. We can have 1,000 excuses, but if you have not spent time preparing for this incredible event, you will be overlooked for that. That doesn't mean he won't love you. It doesn't mean that he will not bless you. But entering into union is a high and holy thing. He will not allow you to bring the world with you, so it has to be removed from your soul. And if you're not involved in that operation, you will be overlooked, and he will take those who took the time to pay the price. So please, use these hours, these moments, these days, these months, these years, whatever time we have left, use them to press into God like you've never done before, to repent of those things that just want to keep hold of your soul and never let you go, so that he can eradicate those chains of imprisonment and the nature of sin within your soul. Tonight we're going to enter into prayer, but when you leave the line and you go to bed, please keep your mind on as much as you can what I just shared with you. We'll have all of this stuff on the internet, hopefully by the first of next week. Print it out and pray over it every day until you are his. Thank you. I want to bless you. Lord, I have shared tonight as you asked me to do. I gave them what you asked me to give them, and I pray that you will bless them and prepare them for union with Christ. Lift them up, take them higher than they've ever been before. Show forth the magnificence of the reality of who you are, that they may love you and know you as they have never done before. Begin tonight, my Lord, imparting to them that spirit of preparation. In your precious name, amen.